My guest this week is Greg Wachter. Greg is the Vice President of Risk Management for Barnum Financial Group. He specializes in estate maximization and works to find the best solution for each client and advisor. He's here to talk about his work at Barnum and the lessons he's learned throughout the years of his career. I'm Paul Blanco, and this is Small Steps, Big Wins. All right, Greg Wachter, welcome to Small Steps, Big Wins. I'm so happy to have you here today, and I can't wait to share your journey with everybody, learn more about what you're doing today. And I'm psyched when I think of Small Steps, Big Wins. You're someone that pops in my mind, so I'm glad to have you on the show.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you having me on. Looking forward to it.
You got it. So let's kind of dig right in here. Yeah. So, you know, how did you find the financial service industry? And talk about the beginning, and then let's talk about your transition to a different role. But let's start with the beginning. How did you find it?
Yeah, it's actually an interesting question, Paul. And I probably have a different answer than most advisors or people that you've talked to in this business. Because what brought me to this industry and why I'm still in this industry are two very, very different answers. And what brought me here was I graduated college right after 2008. So there wasn't a huge job market. I actually applied for another job at another firm and got the go ahead to start. And right before my start date, they said, sorry, you didn't actually graduate college. You have one credit left. So it was me and Taekwondo that stood in between my college degree. And I was out that night and I ran into an advisor that works here still. And he's like, do you want a job? I said, yeah, I would love one. Because everybody I talked to was saying, go get experience, 6, 7, 8 months, and then come apply. Go mess up somewhere else, then come apply. So I came here for a job, and I came here because it was a stepping stone to get to the next part of my life. 14 years later, I realized it's a pretty big stepping stone, and it wasn't a stepping stone to get out of Barnum or out of this industry. It was a stepping stone to a different part of the industry. So what got me here was somewhat of luck, but why I'm still here is the love and the passion I have for helping the risk management side, protecting people, and making sure that the right information and the right product and services are getting to the people across the country.
Well, interesting list. So for all the listeners here, so you started out as an advisor from day one.
Correct. And so I was an advisor for about four and a half years. I was on a team. And it was actually at that point when I started to do a little bit better and got a little some more clients and understood the business more, that I realized that the advisor role just wasn't fit for me. And yeah.
Would you call that a turning point in your career? Or would you just call that, you know, that you just went in a different direction to, and why don't you explain to everybody what your next role was?
Yeah. So it was definitely a turning point in my career. I was working with an advisor coach at the time, and every time I sat with him, he kept saying, why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you here? And I couldn't answer the question as an advisor. And every time I answered, he's like, well, that's not why you're here. It's what you want to accomplish, but that's not why you're here. And I actually put in my letter to resign. And I'm like, well, that I don't have a why, then maybe this industry just isn't for me. And thankfully, thank you, Paul, here. You said, Greg, why don't we have a conversation and see, you know, what really is going on and what you don't like about what you're doing. And if at the end you don't want to be here, then that's fine. And after 2 hours of meeting and talking, we found that there was really only small parts of the business that wasn't for me. And the life insurance and risk management side was 90% of what I loved about doing this. And had a little religion early in my career, which we'll get to, but we found that passion. And it was a huge turning point because if I didn't sit and talk with you about really what was going on and why it was happening, I probably wouldn't be sitting here today.
It's amazing. And thank God that worked out because you belong in this industry and you've impacted so many lives already. In the next 25 years, think about how many more you'll impact. So let's talk about that why for you. What was the why? And just so everybody knows, Greg, you know, your next role was you're a vice president of risk management and you work with tons of advisors now today. Through brokers and regular advisors, career advisors at Barnum. But Talk about what your why is.
Yeah. So, you know, part of it is how I like to think and work personally. And I love problem solving. I love to be challenged. I love a different task or something every day to really work on. And not every field you get that and get the exposure across all these different avenues and ways to go about things. But part of it is the problem solving and really making sure that what we're doing for people is the 100% right thing. You know, there's so much misinformation in this industry and so much stuff out there that is hard to decipher through, but I really take pride in the knowledge that I've acquired through trainings, through experience, through working with thousands of clients and advisors, and make sure that I give that to everybody that I'm talking to, whether they're looking for a small term policy or a big estate planning type strategy. So the impact, you know, we used to impact a very solid group of people in the Northeast. But over the last few years, that impact has gone across the country. And I get to talk to people in Connecticut, Alaska, California, North Dakota, wherever on a daily basis, and really get that reach out to the masses as much as possible. You know, I love being able to problem solve, coach, help people, and really just make an impact. So it had some really early religion in my career that kind of probably drove that. You know, I actually bought a lead online in the first 6 months. Client booked a meeting with me on a Thursday, for the Tuesday after. So 5 days later, I'm like, wow, it's pretty easy. This booked a meeting, no problem. Call to confirm. And long story short, the client actually passed away on his motorcycle the day before. Like, crazy. And that like really hit me. And even though it was only 5 days later, I'm like, well, why couldn't I get there sooner? Why couldn't we get everything taken care of? So seeing that happen and being a part of it so close, I think really kept me here to say, you know, what we do is super important. Helping people, protecting people, is not just them, but also their families. So that probably is part of the big reason why I am here, is that case, that client. Never got to meet him, but still have the article hanging in my office of what happened to him.
Well, and it's interesting when you find that passion and you've impacted so many other lives, and his legacy lives on through you now on a day-to-day basis. So, which is pretty amazing. So let's go back a little bit. So 2008, industry was very different, you know, 17, 18 years ago than it is today. And a lot of advisors have now, you know, they're hybrids. So they're selling stuff on the investment income side and, you know, life insurance sales in the US is at an all-time low. The amount of people that aren't covered, I think a lot of advisors have moved to the asset side.
Yeah.
Your role is to help make it simpler for them to come into the life industry and protect their clients. So what does a day-to-day look like for you today?
Yeah. And glad you brought that up, because, you know, years back, it was more of, I was supporting advisors and really being more of an order taker to make sure that they were taken care of and helping what I could do to help. But now it's more of we're a partnership. And like you said, there are advisors that look to be more on the financial or the investment side and really stay there. But in the end here, we do financial planning, and investments are one component of that. And the risk management side is arguably the most important part, the foundation of all of it. So now advisors know that it needs to be done, want their clients to be protected, but really just look to outsource that portion of the business to make sure that, just like clients searching for information, advisors, same thing. It's making sure we bring the best information and non-biased opinions to their clients. So we really support them and make sure that the asset planning that they're doing, retirement planning that they're doing, is foolproof. And we know that no matter what, that the clients are going to make it there, whether it's through protecting their income, protecting against early passing so their family could survive and maintain their lifestyle, but really just supporting advisors, not just in Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, but literally across the country.
So when you say supporting them, let's go a little deeper and unbundle it. Are you doing casework with an advisor? Mm-hmm. Are you actually going on the call with the advisor to actually present to the client as their risk management specialist? So are you on their org chart? Or are you just running some illustrations and sending it off?
Yeah, it actually depends on the relationship that I have with the advisor. There are some advisors that use me as a sounding board to say, hey, Greg, I met this client. I did this proposal. Just want to make sure that what I'm doing is the best. There's not anything I don't know. Let's just have a quick conversation. All the way to the other end of the spectrum to, you know, Paul meets with a client, shoots me an email and says, hey, I uploaded their information into our financial planning software, put together a risk management portfolio, and we're going to have you on the client call in the next couple of weeks as well. So it really does depend on what the advisor is ultimately looking for, and how I could support best. So between myself, my partners, my team, you know, we make sure that if it's not something I specialize in on a daily basis, that we do have somebody that does it. So the array of the way I work with people is very different, and it takes time to really make sure that we find the right fit. More and more, it is leaning more towards being a partner with them and coming on and being the person that does the presentations and also takes care of all the paperwork and underwriting and everything on the back end as well. So advisors could just concentrate on what they need to concentrate on, and it's meeting with their clients and then doing the investment side of things.
Well, it's interesting. A lot of advisors that have been on the show, I've asked a question to them about COVID. And when you think about COVID, you know, the last 4 years, there was a lot of bad that happened, but a lot of good came from it in terms of Zoom and be able to meet people all over the country right from your office. And I know, you know, at Barnum, most of our advisors are probably doing 95% of their meetings on Zoom. When I think of your role as a specialist slash wholesaler, has that changed the access you have where you don't have to drive somewhere now and you can just, an advisor could be with a client or doing a Zoom and you could be at a Zoom, they could be at a Zoom. Yep. How has that changed how your access to going to meetings today?
Drastically. And I'm going to actually expand on that too, because it didn't only change my day-to-day on a business side of things, but it also changed a lot on the personal side for the better in every way. You know, previously when I'd have to go out on a client meeting with an advisor, no matter how you slice the pie, no matter how far the client is, that's a 3-hour round trip. Got to do it. Got to meet with the client, want to take care of them and know we have to do it. But now it's you hop on a call and you hang up a call and you get on the next one. So previously when we were running 8-10 meetings a week, now it's running 15, 20, 25, 30 meetings a week. And it's made us just so much more efficient with how we work and what we do, especially from my role, because as we know, the advisor is the planner meeting with the client on multiple aspects of their financial plan. I might only be a part of 15 or 20 minutes of that conversation. So I will come on right when they tell me to do my part and get off and go help the next person I need to be with.
Yeah, which is amazing. If you just brought up a really good thought. When you think of what we used to call a VIP meeting, mm-hmm. where a client would come in and there'd be 5 different disciplines around the table that were helping them to make sure they were financially secure. All 5 could zoom in for that 15, 20 minute call. So for advisors that are listening, like stop for a second, write this down. Like if you have specialists around you or people, they have so much better access today that don't be foolish. Make sure you use those people appropriately.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, here at Barnum, there's 353 or so advisors. And on a regular basis, myself, my team probably work with 200, 250. There's always a portion that they want to do it themselves. But the people that use us the most are the biggest producers and the top producers here at the firm. They're the ones that are the busiest. The ones that have the most clients. They're the ones that have the most meetings. And they're the ones that have learned how to delegate portions of their business. And really, in their mind, it's not delegate portion of their business, but it's create more time internally to do what they want to do and what they need to do.
Yeah. And they have trust and faith in you
exactly.
and your team, because they don't have to learn all that stuff. They have to know enough to say it's time to bring Greg in or someone on Greg's team.
Right. Exactly. And you know, a lot of the times the advisor will sit on the same side of the table as the client. And, you know, I'll come in as the specialist, give my presentation and sometimes ask any questions. And the client will be like, no, all set. The advisor will actually come in and say, well, you know, I'm going to ask a few questions on your behalf and really challenge me to make sure that, and really challenge me in front of their clients to say, Greg really did bring the best thing for you. He did do the research and make sure that other products weren't the best thing for you or whatever it may be, and just sit at the same side as a client in every aspect. So really helps to create a stronger bond and relationship between the client and advisor. And also, if a segment of the business doesn't work out, then, well, that was Greg's side of the business. We still have our relationship. So it's changed my role drastically. And even on a personal side, Paul, I mean, I would say it changed the biggest. I have a 2-year-old daughter and I want to be able to see her, right? I want to be able to spend time with her. So nowadays between 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock or 5:30 and 6:30, I always block an hour out because I know at 7 o'clock, I could hop back on a Zoom and just continue my day. It's not driving 3.5 hours or 2 hours to go meet a client. So I could be more efficient with my business and the people I work with, but also more importantly, be efficient with my family and my personal time as well.
Well, and it's an interesting point when you think of a career, and I always talk about, you know, being a corporate athlete and how as a corporate athlete, you have no off season.
Right.
Where regular athletes have an off season where you can train and maybe you have a nagging injury that you can make stronger. When you're a corporate athlete, you can't do that. But when you think of longevity and you think of our industry now, many people that take care of their self and their body do not have the same wear and tear by not driving and going in and out of things or training it to places. I think the quality of life, you know, that was the one of the major things, that positive things that, you know, COVID did bring to the industry.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, you know, more than I do, being in the industry for 35 years. Back then it was always, you're never home before 7:30, 8 o'clock, because you finish your last meeting at 6:30, you still have an hour and a half ride home, you know? So cutting the driving time out has just created so many efficiencies in so many ways.
That's great. So let's talk about another piece of the industry and efficiency. So one of the things that is here at Barnum is a proprietary CRM/tool to help drive efficiencies and drive business. And I know that in B2, you do a lot of book reviews. Mm-hmm. And I think it's probably a lost art in our industry that, especially on the life insurance side, people think about buying a product or two. And I just still remember this stat from when I started 33 years ago that people buy life insurance 7 times in a lifetime. But how do you use the tool and how do you help people look at their book differently and to maximize the opportunity for the client? What do you do with that and how does that work?
Yeah. So B2 has not only changed our Barnum and our book of business drastically, but it's changing the industry is going to change it even more. The biggest blessing and curse with some advisors that have been doing this for so long is they have 2,000-3,000 clients, which is great. They've helped so many people throughout the years. But as we know, even as efficient as Zoom can be, there's only so many people you could talk to in a day. So what the B2 tool has done is it's segmented out your book of business into different opportunities, but not only different opportunities of to work with clients, but the right timing to reach out to them, putting everything right in front of you on a daily basis to say, hey, we have an opportunity because interest rates are higher or the market has gone up or market's gone down, whatever it may be, and put those opportunities to be very timely right in front of advisors. Instead of them having to mine through thousands of names on an Excel spreadsheet, we have a tool now that does that all for you automatically. And the advisors I work with that are on that tool, every single one of them have just rave about how it's changed their practice. And kind of going back to something I had said before about working with advisors and creating more time for them, in the end, that's what I've learned is what they're looking for. Just give me an extra 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 60 minutes in a week, not even a day. And what this tool has done is taken away all of the client segmentation part of their process and the people doing that, and has put it all in one spot and is just constantly creating a conveyor belt of opportunities for the advisors to make sure that nothing slips through the cracks.
Well, and it's interesting too, is knowing a lot about the tool, there's algorithms behind it that with life insurance, there's very sophisticated products that are out there. And this tool will help identify opportunities where clients can put themselves in a better situation to maximize their goals and objectives that they're trying to do on the risk management side. Is that a 100% fair way of saying it?
100%. Yeah. And, you know, there's times where advisors are in their mind, you're like, oh no, those clients are all set. We took care of them a few years ago or 10, 15 years ago, whatever it is. But going through this tool and segmenting it out, you see, well, actually, no, they are in a good spot. But according to our algorithms and experience and what we've done in the past, you could take their good spot and put them into a great spot. So it's not always just coming in and saying, oh, something is not great. Let's fix it. Let's change it. But it's, hey, you're in a great spot. So if we do nothing, that's fine. But we also have opportunities to leverage this policy for X, Y, and Z, whatever it may be. But it's truly has changed the way people have viewed their own book of business, their own clients that they have. Because again, most advisors are talking to maybe 15, 20% of their clients. That still leaves 2,500 out of 3,000 that needs to be taken care of. So it's not only has it cleaned up their book of business, but also has encouraged them to partner with other junior advisors and create campaigns to make sure that every single one of these clients is being touched and being taken care of and making ease around that process. Cause it was a very, very clunky process previously. So,
well, it's interesting too. And I think about all of the opportunities that clients have from, you know, a rider standpoint in our industry. And it sounds like you're getting alerts on that. And it's able to help the advisor take advantage of something that they might've sold 15 years ago that they didn't know what to do. And I guess one question I have for you is, are you able to proactively reach out to advisors that have more opportunities than others to say, hey, like I'm looking at your scorecard now and there's this much here versus that?
Yeah. I mean, we could do that so defined that we've actually created a scorecard within B2 that we call Money in Motion, that it shows what clients or what opportunities are available for you. And based off of probabilities and algorithms, again, through 10, 15 years of experience doing this and statistics of doing it, what the probability is of people moving and how much revenue it could create for you as an advisor, but more importantly, how you can help the client that you're working with. Because there's times in this industry that you have to do something with a product after a certain amount of years. Not that you want to move or you think you need to. It's the product ends after 6 or 7 years. So we create algorithms that put all those opportunities right in front of you and say, hey, you have 180 days before this opportunity expires. Not because we want anything, but that's how it's written in the contract. So, you know, you were alluding to before about, being able to alert advisors and stay on top of these things. You know, for instance, like term conversion, every term policy has different specs and attributes about how you can convert, what you can convert to. But in the end, there's a time frame. So if you miss that time frame, there's no going back in time and taking advantage of it. So even if you don't think your client wants to do anything, you're doing them a disservice by not calling them and at least offering the opportunity to take advantage of something that's built into their policy.
That's great. Well, thank you for sharing that and dumbing it down to make sure that, you know, we understand what it is and how to maximize it. So let's talk about clients. Yep. And, you know, as you were speaking earlier, I was thinking to myself, you're meeting with anywhere to 2,000 to 3,000 clients a year. Yeah. On the protection side, obviously you're hearing about the other stuff if the advisor's on because they're talking about their investments and stuff and weaving you in. What are you seeing out there from clients today? And my question, let me go a little deeper. As you sit there and start to educate clients, when you find out what their need is and then get their goals and objectives, what are you seeing from clients today?
You know, I'm seeing clients coming in actually more educated or sometimes thinking they're more educated in the process. And I say that respectfully because there's so much information out there nowadays, going back to COVID and how things changed, you know, YouTube, all these other social media channels and videos just pop up in the industry about different concepts that you could use. And people are watching them where 6, 7 years ago, Paul, if you ask somebody about what they know about a certain type of policy, maybe 1 out of 10 is answering some sort of factual statement. But nowadays, people, whether it's the right information or wrong, they're coming with information to the calls. But they're also, I've seen a lot bigger uptick in just the drive to want to have this conversation, because it's called spade a spade here. Talking about life insurance is not always the most fun thing in the world.
Sure.
But it, in my eyes, it is necessary. You know, it's something that hopefully you don't have to deal with for a very long time. something that hopefully certain types of policies, you waste your money because that means you're still here. But there's also many other living benefits that are associated with them. So we're seeing clients using life insurance in multiple different aspects of their life nowadays, where it's not just if I pass away, my family's taken care of, but it's if I pass away, my family's taken care of, and I have benefits to use money inside of a policy while I'm alive for investments, or use the death benefit to cover my long-term care exposure in the future. So it's not just a siloed type conversation. I feel clients are more pulling it into their financial planning conversation and taking advantage of what's out there in the industry.
Are they resistant, or are they now more open to hearing about it? Or are they saying, oh, the life insurance guy's here?
They're definitely more open, but they're cautious, right? It's not as much of a, I'll say, negative connotation to be the life insurance guy as it was years and years ago. And it's also about our approach as well, and how we always take a financial planning approach, even if we're just dealing in a silo of insurance. But clients are definitely more open to just even having a conversation about it, even if they're not comfortable doing it. You know, again, it's not the most fun thing, but they are still very cautious because, you know, there are a lot of things in this industry, or a lot of stigmas come from, well, they're just going to try to sell me their company, or they're just going to push a product. No, it's, we're trying to solve a problem. And once we show how that fits into their plan, they're more, yes, they're still cautiously optimistic and open to talking, but it comes more of, okay, these guys understand my goals, my concerns, what my plan looks like and what I want to do. They're not on their agenda, just push a product in some way. So definitely more open, but still very cautious.
No, that's great. And I feel like it's turned the corner. I feel like advisors in our industry have sometimes surmised answers in their mind for clients before they've even asked them. And if the advisor is open-minded, usually the client is too. So I think that's a big mindset shift that you have to get. And yeah. You think you keep using financial planning, you know, if you don't have your protection side, not just your life insurance, all your protection done in financial planning, that's the cornerstone. It doesn't matter how much you're like, you go back to the, you know, the client that passed away, no matter what return they were getting on their investments, if they didn't have insurance, that family was in a very different place, you know, on that Thursday than they were on, you know, the day before. Yeah. So I think that that's really important. And thank you for doing that. So when you think of your growth and the industry growth and all of it converging at once, you know, what's next for you and your team as we look into the future of, you know, risk management, you know, using B2 and the tools like that, and how you're packaging stuff up? What's next?
Yeah, I mean, our goal is to be a full service support system on the risk management side of things. And that obviously is a very broad statement, but it's knowing what to look for and how to look for it with an advisor. It's having the processes down to work with clients and make sure that they know every step of the way, every step that's happening. It's keeping up with the education of the industry, because as we know, it's constantly changing, and it's virtually impossible to keep up with every aspect. So if we can name ourselves in the industry as that group that, no, they don't just understand a certain part of this process. They understand from start to finish how to work with my clients and the next generation after as well. And we really want to make our faces and our team known as, this is the risk management team, because they not only have the front faces, if you will, more talking to clients, but have the team behind them to support and make sure that everything is taken care of.
Well, it's interesting that you say that. If you think about, if you're in the industry right now and you're a wealth manager, that's predominantly who you spend your time with, helping them add this, you know, part to their business.
Yep.
So you have to understand both sides of the business and understand the place that you are in and what your seat is.
Yeah.
In that, you know, how is your team? What will be, from a technology standpoint, like, you're using a lot of the industry technology to help people?
Yeah. So we use, Salesforce is one of the biggest things we use. Salesforce for tracking and you know, client management. B2 is another, if not bigger than Salesforce, just as big. actually lives on Salesforce, but Book of Business Management. So we could be constantly bringing opportunities to advisors. And again, even if they're not looking to work them, we'll outsource that and work with us and my team because they know we have that process down. So it's using V2, another presentation tool called Ensight. I think it's one of the best presentation tools out there. And it just really cleans up the sales process and visual on the life insurance side. Because, you know, I've always said that if advisors are going to pitch an investment portfolio, they're not pulling out a Morningstar report that's very technical and saying, let's talk about all the technicalities of my portfolio. They're selling their idea and improving it with the technicalities. Same thing on the annuity side. Something that you prove the concept and why it works and how it works. Then you come back in with the illustration. Life insurance was always something that advisors showed up with an illustration, would slap it on the table and say, let's go through all these 75 different pages and every single number on the page. And now everybody's confused and head is spinning. So Ensight's really simplified that process drastically and really made it more about the why and the story behind it. And then we prove, again, same thing on the back end with the numbers and everything about it. So I would say those three things are the biggest parts of the technology that we use, and not use weekly, not daily, but hourly.
That's amazing. So I want to go backwards to just wrap this up when I think about it. So when I think about my career, you know, I spent a little less time than you as an advisor. I was an advisor for 2.5 years, and I truly started on the life insurance side. That's all we had. Yep. And I had very similar experience that you had with someone passing away pretty quickly, which basically made me grow up and understand the business really fast. But when I took this role to be the leader of an organization, I had tremendous amount of self-doubt about the end user, meaning I knew I was ready for the role, but I wasn't ready to give up being out there with the client and helping them take care of those problems. And through many, many years of just thinking about it, I realized my role was to impact advisors and then get people like you on my team to carry on my journey to impact as many people as I possibly could to understand not only just life insurance, but the whole planning in general. Yeah. If I was having this conversation with someone that was doing, you know, as the annuity specialist or investment specialist, I would say the same thing. But on the protection side, it was something that just really impacted me. So I want to say thank you for what you're doing. And you know, when you think about when you started going through your stack and some of the things you do on a day-to-day basis, it's really about the show. It's small steps, big wins. And if advisors take those small steps and figure out how to partner with someone like yourself or on your team on each discipline, they can really grow their business faster. And they don't have to know all the things. They could be more of a generalist and rely on specialists to be on their team.
Yeah.
So I can't thank you enough for what you're doing.
Yeah. And I'll just say thank you, honestly, because if you didn't have that vision and that drive, I, again, would not be sitting here. You know, you very easily could have just said, see you later, once I said I'm done with being an advisor. But you obviously saw something I didn't see, and the vision that you had has really paved the way for me being here. So I'll turn it back and say thank you for having the mindset that you had and taking me by the side and really having that conversation.
You got it. Well, thousands and thousands of clients already wouldn't have been impacted, and think about how many more you're going to impact. So thank you for what you do, Greg Wachter, guys, and please, you know, listen to the show on Spotify, Apple, like it, share it. And if you're an advisor out there, reach out to Greg. It'll definitely help you grow your practice faster than you are today. So have a great day, everybody.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you for listening to Small Steps, Big Wins. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions their respective parent companies or affiliates or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated. Investments or strategies mentioned in this program may not be suitable for you, and you should make your own independent decision regarding them. This material does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. you should strongly consider seeking advice from your own investment advisor. Securities and investment advisory services offered through qualified registered representatives of MML Investor Services, LLC. Member SIPC, 6 Corporate Drive, Shelton, Connecticut, 06484, telephone number 203-513-6000.